This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U-Mobile.
Amidst all the fanfare around glove and healthcare stocks in Malaysia, last week, oil and gas player Ocean Vantage listed on the AIM market. The stock was oversubscribed almost 16 times and closed at 53 cents on IPO day, double its issue price. To find out whether this optimism is justified, I speak with Stephen Yao, Executive Director with Ocean Vantage Holdings Berhad. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Now, the oil and gas sector is a pretty big industry with lots of players and roles. You're a support service player. Break that down for us. What does that entail?
Well, we are mainly the support service player for the oil and gas in the upstream segment, where mainly we are servicing drilling contractors. And basically, that's where when we are the first one to go and spot oil if there is any oil out there. First, they will do a quick geoseismic survey, and then to decide where are the area that there's oil. And then they will decide whether this is going to be a development program or exploration program. And that's there. Then when they are going to bring the drilling rigs in to try to drill for oils and drill for the result they want. And that is the time that when our services perform. So we are actually considered a very pioneer in the oil and gas industry because we are right there in the front drilling for oil and gas.
Right. So you are involved in the, even before the rigs are put there, you are there. You are all the way upstream.
Yeah, we basically pretty much is all the way upstream there where the rigs are there. So when the rigs are being mobilized, we help to be on the rigs to drill the oil and gas there.
Right. Essentially, your business is to provide whatever support services are needed for the drilling of oil to maintain the rigs and any of the surveying that needs to be done as
That's
well.
That's basically correct. Yeah. I mean, we are there to make sure that the rigs can be operationally run, it can be maintained at a good standard, and can perform the task safely for the operators like Petronas and Shell.
So let's talk about the numbers now. Ocean Vantage managed to stay in the black for the first quarter of this year, reporting a 2.2 million ringgit net profit on the back of 15 million ringgit in revenue. How did you manage this despite the pandemic?
Well, I mean, we're basically continuing whatever efforts that we have started since last year, where we are branching out in more aggressively into a few more clients, and we have successfully bred some fruits there with our efforts, and we continue to service the clients there during the first 3 months, and also we are continuing to expand a little bit in the downstream side, as in that we are able to perform some work for Serba Dynamic in Bintulu, and that's an area that we are quite proud on in the first Q of 2020.
And just taking a look back, for the financial year 2019, Ocean Vantage's profit after tax rose 34% on year to 6.9 million ringgit. And this was on the back of annual revenue that was 91% up to 58 million ringgit. What was behind this significant revenue growth in 2019?
I mean, I would say that it's because over years of efforts where we positioning ourselves in a particular segment of the industry, which is the manpower segment of the industry, where, you know, this is when you say manpower segment, it's also a rather complicated segment because you got to be very familiar with what the segment is. So you started to have your learning curve 2 to 3 years ago, and then starting to position your staff to know the people that you need to, what kind of trainings they need to, what kind of competencies a crew need to have before they go offshore. So we have started positioning ourselves in this area since 2-3 years ago, and I would say that last year was the year when we started to reap benefits of what we have saw.
Right. So basically, you're saying that your customers, there was more business to be had as well last year?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, there's more business, there are more rigs happening at the same time. And the expansion has become very natural because there are more requirements for our service. And because of Ocean Vantage has been very much focused on quality services all the time, because myself and my MD, Kenny, we are both from the drilling contractor's background. So we know exactly how drilling rigs actually works. So we want to make sure that we give the best service to our clients. And that's how we expected to be back then when we were on the other side. So because of this kind of engagement with our clients, I think we are able to get a lot more good feedback from our client and continue more with more jobs. When they have more jobs, they trusted us more and they give us more jobs.
Now, with all that in mind, what are you projecting for 2020?
Well, I mean, given the scenario of the pandemic that has come, although we are not negatively impacted, there are some slowdown continuing in the oil and gas activities, optimization, I would say, based on whatever is the best to come forward. I mean, we still expect a rather pretty okay 2020, at least similar or better than 2019, given the, certain area that we are in the years before and is currently giving us the result that we want. And we continue to be doing quite well during the pandemic time of difficult too, because mainly because that there's a lot of restriction during the COVID-19 pandemic, and operationally the clients still need to continue to run the operations, whereas they are unable to bring in foreign players because of course there's restriction, nobody can come in, and Ocean Vantage is stepping up to the game to try to perform the jobs for them, and then we've been reaping some good positive feedback so far.
Right, so you're confident that you'll at least do as well as last year?
Yeah, that's what we are currently forecasting it to be, yeah.
If we take a look at the last few years, your gross profit margin hovered between 38 to 40% between 2016 and 2018, so those 2 years there. But in 2019, it went down to 25%. Could you shed some light into why there was a margin squeeze there?
Well, I mean, the answer to what we have said and the benefits of the turnover increase was because that we are positioning ourselves in the manpower segment. And of course, like any sector or business, when you are trying to be good in that particular segment, you need to invest some money to make sure the trainings are done for the crew, you know, make sure all the proper support services are there. So you created some overheads to make sure that side of segment is properly supported and things like that. So there's a bit of to make sure that we are into the industry in a good long manner. We wanted to be very competitive in our pricing. So again, we're still making good profits and bigger volumes and a slightly reduced margin. We think that we still continue to be okay. And I think that some of the margins that we have, like the training costs and some of this, will continue to last us for a while, because the training will last for 3 to 4 years, some of them, and then we do not need to retrain our crew all the time. So I think some of the costs will be translated into profit later.
So you spent more money last year training and building basically the overhead there. Do you see the margins maybe heading back towards the 30-40 point range anytime soon?
I would think that it's going to be better than whatever we have last year because of the one-time expenses that we already have. But given the current pandemic situation where there's some change around on the contract between the operators and the rigs, so we may expect some of that to sort of maintain, but we think that it should be better than last year if it all goes well as per plan.
So we mentioned earlier that you saw a 90% increase in revenue last year, and as you mentioned, the manpower segment was what saw a lot of that growth there. Right now, as it stands, what are your biggest revenue drivers?
Well, for 2020, if you mean, we're still pretty much looking at the similar side. But going forward, we think that balance is going to continue to change because although we're still very much positive in whatever we're currently doing, because we can still continue to expand. We are even expanding now to send manpower overseas all the way to Suriname for operations in Suriname, which is quite far away from us. And also, we continue to build our competency in the upstream segment. But that balance is going to continue to change going forward as we continue to use our IPO proceeds to expand, especially more into downstream segment where EPCIC projects is more going to be. And we want to be there in the segment because, like everybody would have known by now, that you know we are a Sarawakian-based company and we have our Sarawak identity. And we do have the ability to perform the work that's required in Sarawak, and we wanted to use the identity to continue to reap successes of our business in Sarawak. So, yeah, I mean, currently, at the moment, manpower continues to be bread and butter for the company, and of course, supported by the general trading and the EPCIC that we have in the upstream. And we believe that this area will continue to grow organically, but where we think that it's going to grow more significantly will be more into the downstream segment, where in Sarawak or Bintulu, that's where we are targeting our focus. But we're also looking at Sabah and also West Malaysia whenever the opportunity arises.
Right. And you know, based on your financials, you were talking about that shift a bit earlier, right? I see that you're moving away from engineering, procurement and construction, EPC, to more supply of manpower as a source of revenue. Why the shift?
Well, I mean, over the years, you're talking about this is like 2014, 15.
Yeah, over the last few years.
That's when we start to, because that's where the opportunities come, I think, you know. I mean, given the, as you can probably imagine, 2014 was the start of the worst oil and gas crisis in the whole world, and everybody is struggling to survive. And with Ocean Vantage, we actually continue to adapt during the period of time. Of course, it would be lying to you to say that it's not a difficult year, but we are doing what we can to try to survive those period of years. And as we have more and better relationship with our client, and as the client optimize the expenses on their maintenance and operation, we try to see which area are the one that we can continue to support them, and at the same time, give us revenue and profits for us to sustain the company. So We have done quite well in that regard, as in that we are able to adapt very quickly to what client requirement is. We learn very fast. We provide what they needed, and we get very good feedback. And at the end, we manage to get positive feedbacks or result as a result of it. So that's exactly why the drift was. I mean, it's a bit more organically, I would say, because it's within the same client that we've been currently doing, and because we have started, then we become very good at it and become bigger at it.
Yeah, so basically it was an organic shift. It wasn't an intentional move towards supply of manpower.
Well, it was always something that we wanted to do. I mean, we started the company in 2011 as more focusing towards engineering, procurement and installation on the upstream, more in the rig side, you know, as a small front, fabricators and engineering. But we wanted to be bigger and better. And given our current sizes that we have, we need to have something that can leapfrog us into something better. And I think going to the manpower segment does give us that kind of drive and that kind of ability and financial ability. And now bringing us to IPO, and with that kind of amount of money that we can get, the expansion plan can then be pushed more forward into downstream, going to more project bases, you know, bigger projects, and hopefully that we can have a better sustainability of learnings and earnings and contracts with availability.
So if I take a look at the numbers, in 2016, EPC and project management was about 63% of business. Last year, it was only about 19%, and supply of manpower went from 13% in 2016 all the way up to 72% last year. So some big moves and shifts over there. But taking a look at the business for the next 6 to 12 months, Stephen, where do you expect top-line growth to come from?
Well, within the next 6 to 12 months, I would say the manpower supply continue will be the bread and butter for the company. As we start putting our IPO process into a proper implementation of usage, we are expecting some results come from the downstream segment. And I mean, we're also trying to explain upstream, not only downstream. So we do see some positive will come about from there as we advance into underwater divings and also advanced entity in the upstream segment. And in the upstream segment, we are also trying to expand to platforms and other offshore installations. You know, I mean, drilling rigs are primarily where we are currently at, but we are looking at FPSO, we are looking at platforms wherever we can provide our services, because the services are pretty much similar and we can replicate that kind of services across different kind of assets that you have across the upstream segment. So I would say upstream continue to be the bigger driver, and you will start to see our downstream starting to come up, and because of our investment that we're investing there. So yeah, it's going to be like upstream starting to still there, and then upstream coming to go to a balance, and then continue to probably eventually down to about 50-50, or even with downstream continue to be a lot larger than the upstream in the future, because projects in our downstream is generally a lot larger than what we currently have in the upstream segment.
So for financial year 2021, do you have a growth projection for revenue?
Well, I mean, at the moment, we do not have a particular number, because it really depends on how the implementation, and then, I mean, especially this year, it will be very hard because of the COVID-19. I mean, everybody is talking about wave two and all sorts, and but we are generally positive. We're cautiously positive about it, optimistic about it, because we're going to continue to see growth. You know, it may be 2021, we're just going to see a good growth compared to 2020. I mean, you wouldn't probably see too much of growth in 2020, but we are very positive about 2021, because a lot of upstream activities coming up in 2021, especially from Q2 onwards, and also a lot of downstream projects starting to take shapes and take into place in Sarawak. So we think that we should be very good in 2021.
All right. I've been speaking with Stephen Yao, Executive Director at Ocean Vantage Holdings Berhad. Up next, how is Ocean Vantage going to navigate reduction in Petronas spending? Keep it here to The Breakfast Grill to find out.
You are listening to The BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Welcome back to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Roshan Connison. Today, I'm speaking with Stephen Yao, Executive Director at Ocean Vantage Holdings Berhad. Stephen, we've talked quite a bit about the business so far, but looking forward, I think it was just a few months ago that Petronas announced some reduction in spending. And basically, in Malaysia, when it comes down to it, nothing really moves in the oil and gas sector if Petronas isn't spending money. Now, this is bound to impact your bottom line. How are you planning to manage this?
Well, I mean, like how we survived in the past crisis of 2014 and continue to grow from the past crisis till now, we're going to continue to stay very nimble, very, very agile, you know, very responsive to what the market requirement is. You know, we're going to react to what the market wants. That's how Ocean Vantage is able to survive and grow from the past years. And we're going to continue to adopt that kind of strategy. And now that is quite different, because back then in the years, Ocean Vantage may not have that much of financial power, but we do have a lot of financial power right now. And on the contrary, I mean, mean, if you think that the spending or the patronage is going to be very, very bad for us, we actually seek to think otherwise, because, I mean, generally, you know, we see this as an opportunity because, you know, eventually an upswing will come due to the years of underinvestment. And it's about how you position yourself when the upswing comes. And then with this IPO, that's exactly where we want to be. You know, we want to be in a place where a lot of financial muscles is with us, a lot of opportunities in front of us, and then it's up to us to make the right decision to position ourselves in the upswing. So, yeah, I mean, we are going to continue to be very, very flexible and agile, but then this time we're going to be we have a lot of more ammunition with us.
Now, when we take a look at your customer base, you've got customers, I think, in 15 countries or thereabouts. But that said, Malaysia represents 87% of revenue. Is that too much concentration risk in Malaysia, especially considering the potential economic slowdown? Are you concerned about that?
I mean, to be honest, I'm actually not concerned at all because, I mean, when you look about, we talk about concentration risk and big reduction in CapEx spending, you're talking about those who affect a much bigger player compared to Ocean Vantage. Ocean Vantage is still relatively a very, very small player in the oil and gas industry. We have a very small slice of cakes, whatever is currently out there. So given the reduction of 21%, or, you know, we're still trying to optimize within the cakes that we're going to have. So, and we're going to continue to expand slowly given the sales of, just given the size of a company. So growth is not an impossible possibility for us because given the size again, you know, and we are able to grow based on the smaller size. But if you're talking about bigger player, they probably have a very limited avenue of growth potential. But for Ocean Vantage, we're looking at tapping into industry or areas that we have not currently tapped in. And there's a lot of possibility that we can do given the size. And now that with the financial muscles that we have, I think we are very, very positive, yeah.
Are you planning to do any more business abroad?
Yeah, I mean, there's always been one of the good intentions because a lot of people doesn't know Malaysian has been drilling in oil and gas for many, many years. We have very, very good workforce. I mean, with Petronas venturing overseas, you see a lot of Malaysian going overseas to work. And at the same time, they are very good quality workers because given the higher standard that we have in Malaysia, and respective with the worldwide operation, we are currently exporting some of the workforce now in Suriname, in the Caribbean to be able to support the operation on the drilling activities there in Suriname. And that's primarily because of our quality workforce that we have from Malaysia and also the competitiveness of the pricing that we have, which is pretty much a priority right now given the scenario, of course, in the oil and gas industry. Optimization is on the card of everybody. So we are very positive. We want to expand there. We want to give more opportunity for Malaysians to go overseas and continue to promote Malaysians to the rest of the world that we are a very good oil and gas player.
So of the 87% local revenue, what's the breakdown between East Malaysia and West Malaysia? Do you have a number?
I do not have a number from the top of my head, but I think we are quite balanced there. In fact, we are not deriving a lot of revenue from Sarawak, I can guarantee you that. being a Sarawakian company, somehow we are not deriving that much of revenue that you, like you said, from Sarawak. But it's more in Sabah at the moment, and some in West Malaysia. But we have campaigns coming up in Q3 and Q4 this year for Sarawak. There's 2-3 weeks from Bore Drilling coming to work in Sarawak waters. So we're expecting to be more active there in Sarawak. Somehow it's just that even though we are a Sarawakian company and we are very proud of our identity, but we have not reaped any benefit so far at all from being a Sarawakian player. And we intend to change that. And we want to make sure that we get noticed and we want to make sure that our ability get presence.
Are you optimistic of striking some deals in Sarawak for the rest of the year?
Yeah, I think that's the primary why we want to go IPO as well, as in that the branding, you know, the name and the trust that the client can now develop more on you, being that you are no longer a small papa mama company, like I said, mm-hmm. you know, and you are now moving into a corporate, you know, with better due diligence process in place, with better procedures in place of running your company, more transparencies in your financial abilities and things like that. That's going to put it in a favorable spot among the clients that we have. And I think Sarawak will continue to be, of course, our focus and we're definitely, it's very positive that we're going to strike deals there.
Your revenue has been growing over the last few years, but that's also on the back of overall rising oil prices. With oil hovering around $43 a barrel right now, is this going to impact your ability to generate profits and revenue?
I mean, generally, our business is not so much dependent on oil prices in a way. I mean, where when the oil price is low, generally the drilling contractors will put the rigs to sleep or somehow warm stack it. And we are still providing services on those rigs, helping them to maintain. Because it's like your car. You can't just park your car somewhere and don't do anything on it. You still have to do some maintenance on it to make sure that it can run again whenever you want it to run again. So we're not that sensitive to oil price in that regard. But of course, you know, we have a better oil price and more activities are going to come, then our growth will continue. That's one of the very important factors. But I mean, we're not seeking in the oil price per se. I think we're more looking towards stabilization of oil price. If the stabilization of oil price can occur a lot sooner than what we have, everybody would have projected, then I think that the activities will come back because, you know, given years of underinvestment since 2014, this crisis, a lot of operators are trying to catch up with their production quota and then they need to come up to replace their reservoir, you know, their reserve. So I think oil price sensitivity, yes, to a certain extent, might be a little bit there, but we're pretty much okay with the oil price fluctuating, but more stabilization will be better for us.
And, you know, you Ocean Vantage IPO'd about a week ago at this point, issuing 82 million shares at 26 cents per share. That's about 20% of the group's enlarged issue capital. Why list now?
Well, again, I have previously suggested, I said, you know, there's no better time for listing. You know, someone else's tragedy or crisis is always someone else's opportunity. And we intend to make this an opportunity for us. And that's why we go to list now. I mean, with the branding that we can have after IPO and also the financial muscles that we have. And given in a crisis scenario when there's a lot of people trying to diversify or change their way of business, this is exactly where I think Ocean Vantage should come in, position ourselves in a very favorable manner. And eventually when the upswing will come, which we believe so, then I think Ocean Vantage is in a very, very good position to reap the benefits of that swing.
Yeah, I think it's been reported that you want to use that the money raised, I think it's about 21 million ringgit, to accelerate expansion plans. What are those plans? I think downstream it's one of those things,
definitely,
right?
Definitely. I mean, we're going to spend about more than 41% of our proceeds into downstream expansion. That's primarily, again, in Bintulu market that we want to set up the more downstream presence activity. We currently have some presence there, but it's not big. We're working with Sabah Dynamic there in Bintulu and also helping with ABF and MLNG directly because we are a Petronas licensed company. But we intend to do more there because petrochemical activity is going to be more active there in Bintulu, especially in Sarawak. So we given our identity again, we want to be there and make our presence felt, so we want to spend a lot of money there. And other than the downstream expansion, we're going to spend some money onto diving expansion, underwater divings, and also advanced entity because we think that these are the services that can complete our offerings to our client. And currently, we are not doing a lot of that because we don't have the equipment and the expertise at the moment. But once we are able to spend some money to build up that expertise and equipment, we are able to complete our offerings to our clients and make it better to come to us as a one-stop solutions.
You're doing very well in the upstream sector. Why the move to the downstream? Why is it become a priority now?
Well, I mean, we are not abandoning upstream. That's for sure, because upstream continue to be a great area of growth. I mean, and again, in the upstream side, we are only looking at rigs at the moment. We can continue to expand to FPSO and platforms more. But I mean, downstream, because it's a more bigger value projects. Generally, when you try to win a big downstream project, you get like few hundred millions project. And then if you're able to get that kind of projects, your execution plan can be a lot more, stable. And then, you know, you have more sustainable earnings, which I think a lot of investors is very concerned about Ocean Vantage because we are more purchase order basis rather than contracts. So downstream is where the area is going to give us that kind of stability and at the same time provide growth because, we are not into, that kind of a very stable recurring income that is going to give you a certain percentage of return. But we want projects because we want to grow the company bigger and bigger. And with the track records that we can get in the downstream, we can potentially expand the company into Southeast Asia region for downstream expansion and also, of course, the rest of the world whenever that kind of expertise has been captured. So, yeah, I mean, it's not so much as in just purely for profit basis, but it is an expertise advancement that we think is going to benefit the group in the long run. And we do have the expertise. You know, our another executive director, Martin Philip King, is also very well-versed in that kind of expansion because he spent a lot of years doing downstream projects in the tank farms and also like hydro dams, for example, things like that. So we have the expertise. We want to be there. And I think it's the right time to be there because Sarawak is very active at the moment.
Stephen, it's been a pleasure speaking to you this morning. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you very much for having me.
I've been speaking with Stephen Yao, Executive Director at Ocean Vantage Holdings Berhad, and you've been listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Roshan Kanasin for BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.